Psalm 100. There's just five verses. It's a short psalm, but it's a psalm that's full of wonderful encouragement to us all. Psalm 100 can be divided into four parts. There's four main themes, or four main parts, two main themes. In part one and part three, we'll see those verses in just a moment. It's our response to what God has done. And notice the verbs that are being used here. They're very active verbs. Shout out with joy, serve, worship, come into his presence, give thanks to him. Parts two and four that we'll see in just a moment denote the actions and the qualities of God. So there are four main parts, two main themes: what God is, or who God is, and what he's done, and then how we are to respond to that. Let's jump in the first part, and this is a psalm of thanksgiving. It says in verse 1 and 2, shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful songs. Notice the focus on worship. Notice the focus on giving thanks to God. We'll see that even more clearly as the psalm continues. Notice the breadth of this psalm as well. It is all the earth that is to serve the Lord, worship the Lord, shout with joy to the Lord. Not just the nation of Israel, but all the earth. God is the creator of all things. He is therefore to be worshiped by all things, and he is worthy of all that worship as the creator. So it starts off, all the earth should shout for joy to the Lord. We all have things to be thankful for. We are to serve him. We are to worship him. Notice how the second part of this narrows down to the you. You are to serve the Lord. You are to come into his presence. We go from the broadness of all of creation to all of the earth to that personal response that we have to God. Shout for joy. Serve the Lord. Come before him with joyful song. Verse 3, know that the Lord is God. He made us, we belong to him, we are his people, we are the sheep belonging to his flock. Now this takes us into the second main part of this psalm, and this again has God as its focus, what God has done for us, who God is in himself. Notice, he is God, he is sovereign, he is in control. You know, sometimes we feel like things are out of control, especially in the midst of this pandemic. We feel things are out of control, but we need to always remember that God is still God. He is still sovereign. He is still in control. Notice this verse as well. It says, know that the Lord is God. Many of you probably know that when you see the word Lord in all capital letters, as we see here, that behind that word is the Hebrew word for God. Yahweh, as it's often pronounced. And this is the personal name for God. So what is being we're being told here is Yahweh, the God of the Israelites. He is not just the personal God of the Israelites. He is the God of all creation. He is God. We know that Jesus is God. So the idea is that Yahweh or Jesus is not just our personal deity, but rather he is the God of the universe. And recognizing that and knowing that is so very important. You know, this is can be seen in contrast to the secular world in which we live today. People in our world today often do not want to recognize any God. In fact, people want to see themselves as the creators of all that really is valuable. We think sometimes that we are the ones that create ourselves. We create all things. We define who we are. We forget about God. But what we need to remember is the Lord, He is God. We're not God. He is God. And because of that, He made us. We belong to Him. Notice the emphasis on the Him here. It says that we belong to Him. We are His people. We are the sheep of His flock. Three times we see that emphasis here. Again, we live in a world in which we don't often acknowledge God or see God or give glory to God. Here, three times, we're being reminded that we are His, we are His people, and we are part of His pasture. In a few minutes, we'll look at some of the verses from Psalm 23, a wonderful psalm that reminds us of this very theme. He is our God. He is our comforter in times of trouble. Let's go on now to the third part of this psalm. And again, it brings us back to our response. Remember, part one and part three is how we are to respond to what God has done. Our response to God because He is God. It says here in verse 4, enter His gates with thanksgiving and His courts with praise. Give thanks to Him. Bless His name. That word thanksgiving, what's going on there? Well, thanksgiving is really the giving of thanks. It's not just an attitude. It's not just a sentiment that we may have. It's actually the giving of an object to another. Notice the repetition here. We have thanksgiving. We have the giving of thanks. There's a sense in which we are to give to another. We're going to give to God this gift of thanks, this gift of thanksgiving. The image here also draws attention to the temple and to Jerusalem. Again, enter His gates. Often the city of Jerusalem is described as the gates into which we enter into His presence. And the courts are the courts of the temple. This image of Jerusalem, this image of the courts of the temple in Jerusalem remind us of the salvation that was secured for us through the temple. God established the temple. He sent Jesus to be that sacrifice of atonement, which was associated with the temple, all to provide our salvation. And so salvation is something we likewise need to be thankful for. The city of Jerusalem is extremely important for the people of God. God set apart the city of Jerusalem as a city in which He was to establish His temple, establish the place where He would atone for the sins of the people. Jesus came to the city of Jerusalem in order to atone for our sins, all of our sins in this city. Jesus ascended to the Father, and He promised also to return to this city. The Holy Spirit came upon the believers in the city of Jerusalem, and God promises to recreate this city in the end. One of our themes we looked at in our study this morning in our Sunday school was God reestablishing Jerusalem and the significance of Jerusalem for the people of God. There is a new Jerusalem coming. Revelation chapter 1, or 21, excuse me, chapter 21 in Revelation, the Apostle John describes the new heavens and the new earth, and he describes the new Jerusalem coming down upon the new heavens and new earth in order to, again, be that place where we would come into God's presence. What's really interesting, though, is in the story of Revelation, Revelation chapter 21, we have this new Jerusalem coming down. But one of the interesting things that John tells us is that there is no temple in this new Jerusalem. And why is that? Since the temple was such an important place, why would there be no temple in the new Jerusalem? Well, the answer is real easy. There's no longer a need for atonement. there's no longer a need to heal the brokenness in our relationship with God, but now we just simply come into his presence with thanksgiving. We enter his courts with praise. One more connection I want to make, another important passage from the New Testament, is the book of book of Romans, chapter 1, verse 21. This one verse is a remarkable verse that speaks about thanksgiving as well. Let me remind you of the background to this particular passage in the book of Romans, chapter 1, verse 21. Paul is speaking to a broken humanity. Paul is speaking to a rebellious humanity in Romans chapter 1. And it is a verse that speaks to our need to be thankful. Let me read the verse for you. This is Romans chapter 1, verse 21. For although they knew God, they neither glorified him as God nor gave thanks to him, but their thinking became futile and their foolish hearts were darkened. What is the essence of fallen humanity? And that's what Paul's talking about here in Romans chapter 1. He is talking about fallen humanity. What is the essence of fallen humanity? Well, if you look at this verse, it tells us it's the refusal of recognizing God as God and the refusal of giving thanks to him. You know, what is the most basic sin? It's often said that the most basic sin, the root of all other sins, is this notion of pride. But how is pride demonstrated? How do people express the pride they have in their heart? Well, there's two things. Pride refuses to recognize God as God. Instead, pride looks to ourselves as God. And also, pride refuses to give thanks to God. It's discussed or debated of whether these are one thing or two, but the two are so tied together. Recognizing God as God, and only he is God, and our ability or our willingness to give thanks to him. The Apostle Paul says here in Romans 1:21 that if people would just honor God as God and give thanks to him, they would not be in their fallen state. But we refuse to give thanks. We refuse to recognize God as God. Our lack of thankfulness is really the essence of our rebellious humanity. Our refusal to recognize God as God is at the essence of our fallen humanity. We were made by God. We are to worship God. We are to give thanks to God. Let's go on now to the very last verse of this psalm, Psalm 100, verse 5. For the Lord is good, and his love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through all generations. This is giving us a description of who this God is that has created us. And we are told that he is a good God. He is a God of love, and it's a love that endures forever. Think about the love of God and the goodness of God lasting forever. Look at that, or think about that, in contrast with the troubles of this life. You know, the truth is, the troubles in this life are really only temporal. They last for a season. Even this deadly coronavirus that we are facing right now, it is, again, only temporal. We know that in time, through vaccines and medical intervention, that we will eventually get a handle on this. It's not going to go on forever. I stood in line a few months ago to get my flu shot at Kaiser. Sat in my car, the whole family did get our flu shot the same day, and it took us a long time to get to the front of the line, but we got our flu shot. And then a couple weeks later, I sat in that same line looking for my COVID-19 test. And I know one day I'll be back in that line, probably over at Kaiser, like I was in the past, waiting to get my vaccine for this deadly virus. The point is this: we do face troubles in this life. There are hardships, there is sorrow, but these things in this life are only for a season. They are temporal in contrast with the everlasting nature of God's love, God's faithfulness. That is what lasts. And in light of this, we are able to be thankful because we know that the troubles we face are but for a season, but the love and goodness of God goes on and on. Let me again close with the Psalm 23. A lot of parallels between Psalm 23 and the psalm we've looked at today, Psalm 100. A familiar passage, Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not be in want. We just saw in Psalm 100 that God, we are the flock in his pasture. We are part of his protection. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. He guides me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Again, that verse 4 there in Psalm 23 is that contrast between the temporal nature of our troubles, the difficulties, the valley and the shadow of death, that is only for a season. We are comforted in the knowledge that his goodness, his rod and his staff, they will forever comfort us. And the very last verse of Psalm 23, surely goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. The psalm writer, Psalm 23, reminds us of the goodness and the love of God. We see here, Psalm 100, verse 5, the Lord is good, his love endures forever, and we will dwell in the house of God forever. We will be in that new Jerusalem, in the very presence of God, forever and ever. That is what we have to be thankful for. Let's close in a word of prayer. Father, we thank you so much that you are a God who comforts us. You're a God who loves us and blesses us richly. During this season of the year, let us be reminded of the many things that we need to be thankful for. Even though we are facing troubles right now, and life at times seems difficult right now, there's financial difficulties, there's health problems, there's family relationships that are not where they need to be. But in the midst of this, we can find comfort in your goodness and in your love, which endure forever, your faithfulness to all generations. Father, we thank you and we ask you to continue to bless us and let us continue to find our hope in you. All these things we pray in Jesus' name, amen.